Welcome to Fill in the Gap with Pastor Monica R. Hooks of Worship, Worldwide Ministries Incorporated, and Disciple Shape for Discipleship Counseling. For more information, call 904-624-9868 or online at wwminpastor@gmail.com.
Hallelujah and praise the Lord. Psalm 121 reads as such. I'll be reading from the New King James Version, and it is, I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. God, we thank you that your word is always blessed, and we ask that you continue to allow us to hear from you as you continue to show us more about you and how to be a blessing back unto you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Psalm 121 is a very familiar psalm for most of us, right? Now, in this psalm, we don't know who the psalmist is. For those who study the word of God know that David did not write all the psalms. But like David, this psalmist knew something about troubles, trials, and triumphs. Like David, this psalmist knew something about joy and pain, sunshine and rain. Like David and like many of us today, this psalmist knew something about the mighty hand of God being needed more than ever before, for they had truly transitioned from a situation to a situation. Are you with me? Now, don't listen in and think that this child of God has gone crazy, but know that I know what I'm talking about, and I believe you do also, because there is a difference between a situation and a situation. See, a situation is some form of trouble, some circumstance, something that you are in that you can get you out. Sure, it's when there's enough sense in your mind, enough money in the bank, enough friends in your corner, and gas in the tank. But let me tell you what a situation is. Is that all right? A situation is when your situation has transitioned until you are in something that you can't even find in the dictionary. A situation is when your schemes, scams, and skits no longer work. A situation is when we're too stressed to realize just how blessed we are. It's when we are overwhelmed by life's load and about to explode. Yes, a situation is will have us mad and miserable on Monday, troubled and trifling on Tuesday, weeping and whining on Wednesday, thoughtless on Thursday, falling on Friday, sad on Saturday, and sick on Sunday. Just to see that cycle repeat itself week after week after week. So you know the difference now, right? A situation is when you look at life and say, I can handle this. But a situation is when life tries to handle you. And you have to say, God, I stretch my hand to thee. No other help I know. I just stopped by here today to remind you that whether you are in a situation or a situation, your help still and always will come from the Lord. But we got to look up. We got to look up beyond the point to where we keep looking at bad news after bad news, crash after crash, shooting after shooting, financial struggles after financial struggles. We have to look up even when the tendency is to look down, because we feel down when life has us in a chokehold and we feel like we are about to tap up. Look up even when the tendency is to look at the devastation of this world, the degradation of our neighbors, and the agitation of those loved ones who are just rubbing us the wrong way. Look up even when the tendency is to look around, just hoping someone will notice we are going through some things and need a little help in our finances, romances, or even second chances concerning what the Lord has given us. Look up to the hill from whence cometh our help, for our help cometh from the Lord. That's what this unknown psalmist did in Psalm 121. This Psalm 121 is one of 15 psalms known as Psalms of Ascents or Transitions, meaning simply that sometimes the psalm was played musically and would elevate to an experience of the listeners to elevate that as well. Or it also means that the potential for the outlook of the psalmist would transition to a greater outlook when he or she looked out beyond their predicament up to the limitless power of our God. I have already slid into our first base. Amen. So will you tiptoe through today's text with me as the 121st Psalm tells us to look up to the Lord, for our help still and always will come from God. Verse 1 tells us that first of all, the psalmist was in a predicament, because you don't go looking for help unless you're in the need of help. Amen. The psalmist tells us that I will lift up mine eyes to the hills instead of I lifted or what had happened in that situation or situation. The psalmist says, I will lift up mine eyes to the hills from which cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord. Ask that question and then answers it all within the same statement. And I'm so glad that it was done that way so that we would be clued into just where the ultimate help comes from and not be fooled that it is our own education, imagination, or fascination of self. But as the psalmist clarified, our ultimate help comes straight from the Lord. Zoom in on that word Lord. It's all capitalized, right? Capital L, capital O, capital R, and capital D, which means that the psalmist is talking about Jehovah Jireh, their own personal provider, because the psalmist is in an active relationship with the God of all creation. Are you? Am I? Do we know where our ultimate help comes from today? See, if like this psalmist, we would stop viewing, reviewing, and replaying terroristic acts and bad news on the TV, on the media, and within our own lives, and instead look to the Lord for the peace that surpasses all understanding, we would remember that everything will be all right. If we would stop looking to the cost of living that seems to be getting too high and instead look to the one who sits high and looks low, for the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, and we will be reminded that everything will be all right. If we would just stop looking to our ships to support us in ways that the Lord wants to protect us, not just those ships in the sea, but those friendships, kinships, fellowships, and relationships, even memberships that we look to carry a God-sized load, and we would remember that the one who is the mightiest of all, the one who is God Almighty, God's self, who will not leave us nor forsake us, for even when my mother and father forsake me, the Lord will take me up. We will remember everything will be all right. Why is this psalmist so confident? I know that we can look to the Lord and we can depend on the Lord and trust in the Lord. But why is this psalmist doing such hardships and traveling and going to and fro and realizing that the human person can't be depended upon but so much? Why is this psalmist so incredibly convinced that our help comes from the Lord? Well, the very attributes of God are neatly nestled within the text. May I show you? Verse 1 says that this psalmist is in a predicament, right? A situation or situation that needs the help of the Lord. Verse 2 speaks of the capitalized Lord, L-O-R-D, that word reminding us that we need a personal relationship with Jehovah Jireh, our personal provider. Verse 3 speaks of the Lord as a promise keeper. For the psalmist says, he will not allow your feet to be moved. He that keeps you shall never slumber. The psalmist speaks of God in verse 4 concerning the past. He who kept Israel shall never slumber nor sleep. Verse 5, the Lord is listed as protector. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. Verse 6, you're still with me? In Psalm 121 speaks of the Lord's perpetual presence. For the psalmist says, the sun shall not smite or strike thee by day, nor the moon by night. And now I'm on verse 7, and I need to pull over just for a bit. Because it tells us there that God is our preserver. For verse 7 in Psalm 121 says, the Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. And Holy Spirit reminded me of how as a little girl growing up in Montgomery, Alabama, how my grandmother would come in the home with peaches and strawberries at times. And she had picked them herself. She had been to the market. And she would do this preparation as she made preserves. She would wash them. She would season this fruit. She would cook them. Then she would press them and then prepare them. Then pack them into what we know as a mason jar. You know, a jam or a jelly jar, right? Now, I would be sitting at the kitchen bar stool with bread and butter knife ready to spread. And she would say, not yet. And then place them on the shelf. Some of you ought to be on your way back from where I'm headed. Isn't that the same thing that God does with us, except it's not fruits, but it's the fruit of a different nature? For God preserves the fruit of the Spirit. Come here, somebody. God reaches us beyond what we're going through because God's heavenly realm will make his intersection into our earthly market and will handpick his own fruit. And once we step into the master's kitchen by accepting and believing Jesus Christ is Savior and Lord, God will wash us with God's holiness so that we can be as pure as snow. Then, so that we can be even greater than we were before, God will season us with life's experiences so that we become a better version of self and not a bitter version of ourselves. God will then cook us with his fire of love so that the old self can pass away and behold, we are new creatures in Christ. Then God will press us and prepare us. Press us to get the best out of us. Press us so that we can become daily more like Christ. Press us so that the old can go away. Prepare us within his perfecting process and then pack in love and pack in joy and pack in peace and long suffering and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and self-control. And then with his miraculous muscles, God will seal us up. So that when the bugs of busyness try to blow in, we are preserved. When the rotten experiences try to infest us, we will not spoil. When the droughts and winters of our lives blow in, we can go to the shelf of our spirit and get us some love and get us some joy and get us some peace and get all the goodness that the Lord has and be confident in knowing that since the world didn't give it to me, the world can't take it away. So I'm going to look up to the hill, not at the hill, but to the one who created the hill and beyond the hill, to the almighty presence and power of my Savior, Jesus Christ, the Lord, the one who keeps me and preserves me. Amen. Amen. Verse 8 goes on to talk about the power of God. Do you know about the power of the God? I'm going to ask you again, do you know about the power of God even when you're looking at the news, even when you're looking at the things within your own life, even when you are investigating the things that are within your own mind? The unknown psalmist says, the Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Ooh, got to preach this, teach it, and reach you as best as we can. Because in talking about the word, whether we are going out of church or coming back into church, God has your back. If we look up to God, whether we are going out of our right mind or coming back into it, God has our back and will keep us. Look up to God, whether we are going out of a bad relationship or coming in. Hello, somebody. God has your back and my back, but we got to look up to God instead of looking to and at and beneath the situations and situations that we find ourselves in. So tell yourself right now, it's time for me to look up to God and stop looking to other things and thoughts and trifling individuals that try to get me to fail. I cannot put God-sized expectations on human and earthly-sized assistance. I got to stop living life like it's Aesop's fairy tale. Stop reciting scriptures like cute little nursery rhymes. Stop looking at this thing called life as if it's some Western movie expecting people to come in and rescue me from the things that I'm feeling. I got to stop saying these things like I'm a kid and grow up and mature into the word that God has given me. I've got to stop using these rhymes and these times that God has given me and these cliches that God is good and all the time and all the time God is good. It's true, but do you really know how good God is? Because if we just say it as a cliche and not live it as a fact, it would sound just as simple as Jack be nimble, Jack be quick, and Jack jump over some candlestick. But the truth be told, saints, I don't know Jack about Jack. But I know about Jesus because Jesus is the one who walks on water, transforms wine, multiplies food, and always shows up on time. He is an on-time God, yes? Yes, he is. I recall stuff like Humpty Dumpty who sat on a wall and had a great fall, and all the king's horses and the king's men couldn't put that broke joker back together again, right? Something like that. But I know about a Savior named Jesus who kept me when I used to be on a wall. And I couldn't be put back together. Jesus, that same Lord, healed me when doctors and surgeons couldn't do it and put the broken pieces of my dreams and shattered pieces of mine back together again. When we finally look up to God, we can see that God is completing us. We have to know that God is more than just a cliche. And throughout situations and situations, God is still the one who keeps us. So it's cute to say I'm too blessed to be stressed, but the truth is some of us are stressed into a hot mess. It's probably true about the rhyme that I know Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers, and I really can't sit here or stand here today and tell you just how many pickled peppers Peter Piper picked, but I can tell you that my Prince of Peace can pacify any predicament I'm presently in, provided I perpetuate the proper position of prayer, the posture of praise, and the prescription of God's power. For God does have all power to save me by dying on a cross, to reconnect me to himself. God has all power enough to sway me through the realms of hell and to preach his own word while his deceased body lay in a tomb. But God also has all the power that early on Sunday morning, he got up with not just some power, not just with enough power, but God had and always will have power, all power to help me get through my situations and my situations and everything in between. So since we know that we have to look up to God for our help comes from God, we have to know that God is defeating death, that God is defeating the earthly experiences that are not good, that God is defeating those negative things that come against us. And let's continue to look up to God, the one who is my ultimate helper. Let's continue to look up to God, the one who, when I'm in a predicament, is the one who is my provider, is the one who is the promise keeper, is the one who has a perfect past, is the one who has a perfect presence, is the one who is perpetual in all his ways, is the one who will preserve me with his power, because he is the one who is the one who created me and is the one who will keep me. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, always has, always will, and always does. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Lord, we bless your name and we praise your name. And we continue, dear God, to trust you in all your ways. Even though we don't understand all about you, we don't understand all the ways that things happen. We don't understand the extent of your sovereignty and your providential reign. We don't understand why some things are allowed, why some things are permitted, why some things are not permitted. We don't understand, but we do understand that you are trustworthy no matter what things look like around us. We do understand that you are God Almighty El Shaddai, and that no matter what we see on the TV or see in life, that you still are powerful and always will be. You are all powerful. You are completely all present. And we, dear God, know that you are all-knowing in all your ways. And for that, we are grateful. Help us, God, where we struggle in seeing the things and the ways of the world. Help us where we struggle in trying to always see your word manifest itself within our daily lives. And help us, dear Lord, to continue to be an example of you for the sake of your kingdom that is now and the one that is yet to come. And in Jesus' name, Lord, no matter what, we will give you the praise and the honor and the adoration. And we all say in courage. Look, I realize that things in this world look shaky at times and look dark. But we serve a God who is not shaky, who is stable, who is solid. God is with us from our own creation within the womb all the way to our cremation and beyond life on earth. And so God is with us at the point of suffering. God is with us at the point of celebration. God is with us in accidents and incidents. Through everything, God is with us. So let's all be encouraged that the one who is with us will keep us through these situations of life, even when they turn into situations, knowing that God loves us no matter what. Amen. Please be encouraged. Stay encouraged. And whenever God gives you a moment, take that opportunity to encourage someone else. God bless you.
I will lift up mine eyes to the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, the Lord which made heaven and earth. Suffer thy foot to be moved. The Lord which keepeth thee, he will not slumber nor sleep. For the Lord is thy keeper, the Lord is thy shade.
Oh,
Praise God, and thank you so much for joining us on Fill in the Gap with Pastor Monica R. Hooks. Tune in again every Saturday afternoon at 3:30 right here on The Truth. For more information, call 904-624-9868 or email at wwminpastor@gmail.com.